Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 121 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I am your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We're going to begin an entertainment talk and really go hard on this Warner Brothers' decision to stream all of their 2021 movies on HBO Max at the same time as their theatrical release. And then we'll move over into tech and discuss some latest ransomware attacks, self-driving vehicles, some ethical AI decisions, and then a bunch in space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 121. And this is going to be, this is a week that we've been hoping for a while now, some actual entertainment things to talk about. So we're going to really go into a little depth here into our opinion on really some major kind of industry shaking news from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, Warner Brothers really just threw a monkey wrench in the whole works. Like we've seen this coming down the pipeline, you know, but everybody was kind of playing nice. You know, you had other services talking about, you know, timed releases and delays between streaming services and movie releases to give the theaters a fighting chance. And Warner Brothers, they said, fuck you, pal.
Yeah. You know, so Warner Brothers comes out and announces that first they made the first announcement about just Wonder Woman being released on Christmas Day, same day as the theatrical release. And like, okay, that kind of made sense. You'd already pushed that movie back a while. You know, give everybody something to be excited about for Christmas, yeah. I guess. Whatever.
You know, Merry Christmas. Here's Wonder Woman. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to stream on HBO Max.
Happy
Not a free
Hanukkah.
Trial, by the way. You have to be an activated account. Don't think you're going to just sign up for that free trial 2 days before Christmas and you're going to be able to watch Wonder Woman.
You know, I didn't even think about that option, but it does not surprise me that you did at all.
Of course I did. Of course I researched whether I could do that. So they got me. If I'm going to get it, I'm going to pay for it. And so they made that announcement. It did make sense. It didn't come with any big backlash. And then it was 48 hours later, they announced that they were following that plan for all 17 movies that Warner Brothers Studios is set to release in 2021, which includes some heavy hitters like you've got the Godzilla, King Kong movie, and you've got Dune, namely the two biggest budget ones that they had coming out. But they also have many other in that 17 movies, all of them going to HBO Max, the, you know, Warner Brothers owned streaming service.
Yeah, I mean, you have some big movies in here. You know, Godzilla vs. Kong, the Mortal Kombat remake, Suicide Squad, the fucking Space Jam, fucking
Tom and Jerry.
Like, man, I got kids. I promise you I was going to see that. Matrix 4, you know, some like, these are some big titles. And then, like you said, Dune, which everybody, you know, that I know have, that has a respectful opinion of movies has been dying to go see. The fact that they were just like, yeah, we'll let the theaters play them, but we're just going to put it on our streaming service anyways. And some of these aren't due to release till hopefully round 4 vaccine. You know, like you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these ain't due to release until we should hopefully be long gone. I'll tell you right now, if Dune releases and I still haven't gone to a concert, fuck my life. Like, just kill me now. Like, if we're at the third quarter of 2021 and we still can't go do this shit, I'm out, man. I'm out. Shoot me to Mars, Elon. Shoot me to fucking Mars.
Yeah, I mean, what's wild about it, when you start then kind of getting all the articles and things that are trickling in and the press releases coming from everybody else afterwards, is that like Warner Brothers maybe gave everybody like a 5-minute heads up they were doing this, but nobody else was in this conversation.
Well, Warner Brothers is like Warner Brothers is like that dude on like a really like toxic Facebook thread that just drops like a horrible comment and turns notifications off, and then there's just this shit storm that proceeds right after, and they never respond and they never fucking care afterwards. They just lay that turd in the comment section and watch it peripherally for everything. Like, they don't give no fucks.
You know, naturally, you get AMC coming out saying that they are engaging in immediate and urgent dialogue with Warner Brothers, stating that this is not something that they were made aware of and something that they agreed to as far as just destroying the theatrical window. So AMC immediately tries to fight back. You know, this is following, but yeah, I get it. You got to go like 7 months back in COVID world, which feels like an eternity. But the shitstorm that NATO, the National Association of Theater Owners, not, you know, the international body, but the other NATO, the shitstorm that they flew out because trolls went to like video on demand streaming, not even just a subscription based streaming service. They went video on demand and the shitstorm that it caused. And then now we have Warner Brothers just essentially just taking their ball and going home and just saying, no, we're actually not even going to get any revenue from these movies that are directly tied to these movies. We're going to roll them into a subscription. So we actually don't owe any cut of box office, any cut of anything to these production companies.
Well,
that have made
and
these
like
movies.
Last week I had stated, like, there's still a reason to go to the theater. You don't get that Dolby sound with it. You know, HBO Max doesn't stream in 4K, so you get a better picture if you go IMAX or Dolby.
Press release.
Guess what, bitches? We got the 4K.
HBO Max will stream Wonder Woman in 4K and all movies in 2021.
It's
in
like
4K.
It's like they listen to the show and they're just like, oh my beer, we're upgrading. We're going to push it out in 4K. So really, there is no better visual experience. And if you got some good speakers at your house, fuck them theaters. That's really what they said. Like they give no fucks. If you got an air popper at your house, there is really no difference. There's really no difference. Go to the dollar store and get you some boxes of candy if you're on the low. And man, I might just start having my kids come down the stairs and ripping tickets in my living room. Like, I don't, like, this is insane.
It is absolutely wild. And like I said, so this is something that, honestly, I'll be surprised if a year from now, Warner Brothers is still on this plan. That the theater owners, AMC, the production companies, somebody doesn't get Warner Brothers to back off of this.
Why would they... Like, I know there's a lot of money in these streaming services, but Endgame made a billy. Endgame made a billy off one fucking film. How do you justify cutting that revenue stream out for future movies? Like, I get it. They might not ever make a movie that makes a billy. You don't know. But, like, especially with some of these movies that they have on that list, that Dune was going to make a billy.
Yeah.
Dune was going to make a billy.
But they're probably looking at, you know, in the end, when it comes to like, so I've read some articles that talk about like the financials of this and the fact that like Wall Street investors and money coming into the industry is so enamored with streaming services because it's not tied to any single individual successes. It's not tied to, it's dollar cost averaging.
It's dollar cost averaging your entire, you know, movie slate.
Well, yeah. And it's an enduring business model. You get to a certain amount of subscribers, you have a certain amount of revenue. Like it's not tied to anything, any individual production, because once you get the subscribers, yeah, some are going to come and go, but for the most part, most are just going to stay. Most are just going to buy into it and stay. So everybody wants a piece of that Netflix model. Everybody wants to be evaluated like Netflix is today.
Well, and part of it too is also you have, you know, we have two articles here that, you know, Christopher Nolan starts ripping HBO Max as the worst streaming service. You know, partly because they're cutting out the theater experience, and he doesn't make movies for people to sit on their fat ass couches and watch. He makes films, not movies, guys. He makes films.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you have Legendary, the studio that made Dune, and they're looking to take legal action against WB because they did this unilaterally without any, you know, consultation towards the production company. And what I'm assuming is a lot of this has to do with, so Robert Downey Jr.'s contract for those that have the Endgame, the Avengers movies were tied to percentage points on box office. First day. Some people have first day sales only. Other people have long run. But you have percentage points tied to the box office sales of this movie. So now if we move to this other model, how are you going to recruit these big actors? You know, like what's that they're fucking with this whole, it's the ramifications are going across the economy of movies in every aspect.
Yeah. So in like that quote that he talked about that being the worst streaming service, his full quote there was that he said that, you know, some of our industry's biggest filmmakers and most important movie stars went to bed the night before thinking they were working for the greatest movie studio. And then they woke up to find out that they were now working for the worst streaming service. And I mean, like, he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
When it comes to subscriber count, HBO Max is dwarfed by just about everybody.
It is one of the newest ones, you know.
It's one of the, sure, but it had a terrible, it had like a famously bad rollout that fought with all the Roku and streaming sticks that wasn't available on most people's platforms in their homes. It didn't have the big draw. It was confusing with HBO Go, HBO Now, HBO Max. It had a famously terrible launch, which it's still suffering from now. And Warner Brothers is just saying, yep, fuck all these movies and these directors and everybody who put their faith in us and these production companies and everybody who put their faith in us to deliver this movie to everybody. Now that we've bought the rights to you, we're not asking for your opinion and we're just going to prop up our subscription-based model because that's the future of our investor money. And that's 100% what it looks like. Yeah, you could say COVID forced their hand on it. It did not force their hand deep into 2021. Not yet.
Well, because if it has nothing to do with COVID, then Dune was supposed to release months ago.
Yeah.
So why even hold it anymore? If you're just going to put it on the streaming service, release that shit in a month.
Well, and release Dune's that director, shit
in a fucking month.
Dune's director is somebody similar to Christopher Nolan, who is 100% that his movie would be a theatrical release. It needs to be in the theaters.
I can't watch that at home. I'm not watching it at home. I'm not doing it. Like, I can't.
Not to mention the director only signed on to the project because he was greenlit to do it as to break up the book into two movies and to do it in this gigantic, epic, on live set format designed for the theater. And now he's one movie into his two movie deal with Warner Brothers and they pull the rug out from underneath him here. And you've got to imagine there's some bad blood there.
Well, who was it? IGN did a Twitter poll, right? So out of 21,000 people that responded to IGN's Twitter, 50% loved the fact that movies were coming straight to HBO Max. Then you have another 50% that aren't so sure. 4.5% hate it. 14.4% feel conflicted. 31% say I miss movie theaters. So even amongst like the audience, it's about half and half. You know, half are like, yeah, fuck it, I don't go to movies anyways. I love to watch it at home. But you have half of the viewing audience saying like, nah, this is kind of messed up. I enjoy theaters. I don't think it'll be the same if we watch all these movies at home. Now you have like, just imagine the spoilers.
It's over. It's over.
Good luck. Good luck. You've been waiting for the sequel to your favorite franchise. You better watch that shit day of. You better watch that shit day of because you're getting memes before you go to bed even that night. I mean, we even in group have people almost spoiling Mando the day it released because they stayed up to midnight the night before. It's like, bro.
Bro, it's Thursday night still. Like, how it releases on Friday. How am I waking up Friday morning and I'm already seeing?
I'm at work Friday afternoon, and I'm like having to not. You know, I can't see. I can't even look at anything. You know, it's messed up. So yeah, now you put every dope ass movie out there the night at release, and you just got every Joe Schmo sitting on their fat ass couch watching these movies just to be a dick. Some, you know, some people are going to do it just to be dicks. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, absolutely. Like they don't even care about the, you know, the remake of Pride and Prejudice, but they're going to shit, you know, like whatever movie, like they're just going to watch the most obscure fucking shit just so they could go online and fuck people's days up.
Yeah. I think, you know, I thought they were moving in the direction that I was actually more okay with, which was that like 21-day window.
Yeah,
they get 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Just give them three weeks.
Three weekend viewings. After 3 weekends, no movie's still crushing box office at that point in time. They've made their 70% of what they're going to make. Let it end at that point.
That is like the best compromise I think you could possibly have. You know, let the theater goers have their chance to go and enjoy the movie in the theater. And then all the people that are too cheap to fucking get off their ass, let them see it 3 weeks later. Like you paid your dues, you waited, and here's a free movie on the backs of the people who actually get off their ass and go pay to see it.
And I would have even been okay if Warner Brothers came out and said, until nationally all theaters are open, we want everybody to have access to the movie on the same date, and we're gonna do the simultaneous release. But once things
open, yeah, that wasn't in that press release.
You know what I mean? Like, nope. They were just like straight, hey, next 12 months, free for all. Yeah. We're taking it all. And I think like that aggressive of a move unilaterally made, I really think that I've got to think that they're gonna not survive that all the way through. As, man, cross our fingers, hopefully some COVID stuff comes back to normal in 2021. And, you know, if we hit May and theaters are open and whatever else, and they're still doing this, there's no way AMC, Cineworld,
well, NATO, and now they said
continue happen.
They, you know, they kind of like set the bar, right? So everybody's seeing the reaction to HBO Max, everybody's feeling it out. And you got people like Peacock who own Universal, you got Disney Plus, IN, all these things like, hey, well, if they can do it, like, you know what I mean? Like this is going to ripple effect throughout the entire movie industry, and like going to having a theater in your neighborhood in 3 years might be a thing of luxury.
And honestly, I don't know. So who I think wins most in this is Netflix. Like, honestly, because Netflix is already, they're already the dominant streaming service that brings the greatest content and stuff like that. So if you're a movie producer, and now you have few options of major studios to take your, to shop your movie to get a big theatrical release. And like, if there's that threat, if there's this now limited theater environment, Netflix has got more money. Like, they're going to pay you more money up front than any other studio. So why not? Why not just go with Netflix? If theater is no longer something that you have to have, it's something that's not even a viable option.
Man, I'm gonna wait till all these theaters die, and I'm gonna start some like bootleg experience in my basement. Just gonna get like an 80-inch TV, let people come over, use my HBO Max password. You can smoke weed in the basement. Here's some snacks. I'll just charge like a minimum premium. Like we're bootleg theaters all over. Theater's gonna go ways of the speakeasy. Like, it's gonna be insane.
I don't know, but another reason why, and we'll talk about the next article, another reason why I think that maybe the entire 21 slate doesn't stay is because the lawsuits are already coming. We're already starting to get legal challenges coming from, notably the first one to kind of take shots is Legendary Entertainment. Legendary Entertainment is behind both Dune and Godzilla vs. Kong. And they are pissed.
Oh, for sure.
We're going to talk about Dune and one of the purposes of Dune and everything else. Well, Godzilla vs. Kong, one of the things with them is when the Godzilla vs. Kong should have already come out. And it's been delayed. And when the pandemic was happening and they wanted to release, they're not somebody who was fighting for the theatrical release. They attempted to sell the rights to their movie to Netflix for, I want to say it was $250 million. That Netflix agreed to pay for the rights for Godzilla vs. Kong. And Warner Brothers said, nope, we're taking it to the theater. And they would not allow them to sell it, even though Legendary paid for more than 75% of the cost of that movie, which cost them over $150 million. So they're sitting on this money that they spent on this movie.
So they're like, we'll take a cool $100 million profit. Like, yeah, it'll be like, good.
And clear our books, right? Yeah. So Warner Brothers forces them to sit on that spent money, tells them that we're going to take you to the theater and you're not able to sell to Netflix, and then pushes it down the road and then makes this decision without them that they now are just rolled into their streaming service. And who knows what that settlement looks like.
Yeah, what's that look like? Yeah.
Who knows? But I bet it's not $250 million.
It's so messed up because I've said it a few times on the show. I am now I have 6 episodes of Suits left, and this is the most. This is like the ripest Suits episode I've ever heard. The litigation that's going to go on in that boardroom. Like, I already see the episode in my head. I see it. Like, Harvey's going to get that ass.
Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, when there's got to be something when they legally go after these Warner Brothers. I mean, it's not even these companies. It's just Warner Brothers making this decision. When they go after them, there's got to be something in the contracts. Oh, there's got to be some way that they're going to force into compensation.
I want to say that the whole reason why they held it and they're just announcing now is because they've had a team of lawyers just reading these contracts for months. And then finally the lawyers were just like, go ahead. Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. We got you covered. Don't worry about it. Like, I have to believe that they don't have a shot in hell at stopping this.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful that the lawsuits can kind of either win or just put enough pressure that Warner Brothers kind of scales back and says, yeah, we're gonna honor a theatrical window. Once it's viable, we're gonna honor a theatrical window. I don't think we need to just keep pushing movies back forever and ever. I think these movies need to just start coming out, and if a streaming service is the only way, go for it. But I know Warner Brothers is about to just ruin the entire industry and just watch all the theaters fold up underneath them, and then I don't know. I guess just live off HBO Max.
Yeah, it'll be really sad. And if there's a future where, you know, like, I live by major markets, so even if the theaters die, there will be like mom and pop theaters around, you know, for me to enjoy it. But like, I have 3 AMCs within 7 miles of my house. You know, if you live in Nebraska and you only have 1 local AMC and it's, you know, anywhere from 25 to 45 miles from your house, you're going to be asked out, man. Like, and I feel bad for those people because they won't have an option. Like I said, there'll be some option for me to go pay a lot of money for Raisinets and popcorn, but there's not going to be that option for a lot of people in America.
Yeah. Who knows what the future is going to be here, but I'll make one prediction. Warner Brothers 2022 slate is probably going to be straight garbage.
Trash. Like,
what director, actor, or anybody is signing a contract with them right now?
You thought DC movies were bad before.
good luck.
Yeah, and what's that do to like The Rock, who is slated to be Shazam?
I guarantee you, he had Shazam money share.
Oh, for like sure,
box office money share.
For sure,
that dude's not signing up for just a straight cut. No,
that dude's probably got the most cutthroat agent you ever seen in your entire life. You know, and like, so, for sure, he was getting a percent. I want to say he's even a producer on that movie.
I mean, probably is. Like, The Rock just walks into the negotiating rooms with chains on his neck, and just goes in there muscling around the table and just says,
"What a fork full of pancakes." this is going to get really fucked up. Like, this will not be the last time we're talking about this. I promise you. Like,
no.
It is every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there's just going to be shots across the bow. And especially like Wonder Woman releases in 3 weeks, you know, or less than 3 weeks, you know, on Christmas Day. So we're going to see how many people stream it. And then how many people actually went to the theater? Theaters ain't even open by my house again. Like, they shut all that shit down. They canceled my A-list for the time being. You know, but if the theater opens before Christmas, I'm going to the theater to watch it. I'm not watching it at my house. I'll watch it again at my house later. You know, but I'm
going to be part of the problem, and I'm going to sign up for an HBO Max subscription on Christmas Eve, and I'm going to watch it at home.
Yeah, I know you are.
And I'm going to be part of the problem.
But like, you were never going to spend money to go see that movie anyways. So like, technically,
no, I probably, so truthfully, I if the world was normal, I would. I go see pretty much 90% of these type of movies. I do like to go see those movies, and I like to not have them spoiled for me. So oftentimes, I'm not going to see it Friday night. I'll see it at a respectable Sunday, 11 a.m.
after church.
Super matinee is what I'll go see. But I generally go into those movies. But I'm not going to. Well, one, theaters are definitely not opening in Southern California anytime soon. So it won't be an option for me. But man, my lazy ass might just pick do at home anyway. I don't like people. I don't want to be out in the theater.
Yeah, this is odd.
But first half of the show, AMC, let's go. We gotta move on and pound out. We got a lot more articles on the outline.
We're gonna speed round some of these things. First speed round before we leave entertainment. Quibi's officially dead as of December 3rd. They finally shut that thing down.
Yeah,
we talked about it a long time ago.
Yeah, how many times has this thing died? Yeah, how many times has this thing died?
So yeah, so if you were still just living the high life off of 8 minute shorts, man, sorry about your luck. Quibi's gone. Yeah,
to that dude, R.I.P.
Yeah. And then
we got
the other entertainment headline we had was an article showing that people of the ages 35 to 65 are playing more video games now than ever. Well, no shit.
Yeah, no shit. We are the gaming generation. Like, I am the gaming generation. None of you motherfuckers would have any of this shit if it wasn't for me. All right? Like, yeah. I bought all that shit. I played all that shit.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people on Facebook or whatever else, tweeting or Facebooking about the fact that all these adults going out and buying PS5 so these kids are having sad Christmases because they can't get one.
Fuck them.
Fuck them. Sorry about your luck.
Get a job, Pee-wee.
Sorry about your luck. But we put in our dues to have these consoles when they come out.
Yeah, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm going to get launch day tattooed on my back. You know, but also I think this plays into the fact that, all right, so typically you have kids between the ages of 22 and 28 standard, not my old ass, but like most people standard have their first kind of kids by 30. So when you hit, 45, your kids are way past that age of like needing to worry about them. You get like all this time opens up. They're at practices and they never want to be home anyways. They don't like your fucking old ass. So then you have this empty house all of a sudden. Plus you throw on COVID, old people playing video games again. Like, I had kids late. I had kids at 36. I have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. I still can't leave them alone for 5 minutes without worrying about them dying. Like, so I can't just log into a game real quick. If I am not fundamentally watching them eat or watching them play, essentially bad things can happen. Once they hit those golden ages of like autopilot, you're goddamn right I'm getting achievement points like crazy again.
Well, my kids are pretty much autopilot. I'm still not getting the achievement points. So I think I need those teenage years before I just kick them out of the house.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you're that 60-year-old gamer, yeah, for sure. They're gone in at college. You're living the grand old life of come home, tell your wife to shut the fuck up and go in the basement and play video games till you pass out with a controller in your hand.
Well, we're supposed to be speed rounding in some of these things. Let's move it
that
to
was a fun one though.
Yeah. Let's move it. That one hit home.
That one hit all the feels.
That's our age bracket there when we're talking about 35 to 65. All right, let's hit up the tech news here. And first one's just kind of a throwback to last week. Last week we talked about the Huntsville school district that had to send 25,000 kids home because of ransomware attack. And we're talking about, ransomware hackers really having absolutely no respect for society at all. And then they proved it 2 days later as Baltimore, Baltimore used to getting some days off. The headline even talked about forget about normal snow days. This year, Baltimore gets a ransomware day. 115,000 students in Baltimore school district sent home because of an aggressive ransomware.
Well, when you're a kid in school, if you get a random day off out of nowhere because of something crazy happened, it is like the greatest thing ever. I remember when I was in high school, the janitor accidentally like mixed some chemical together with the pool chlorine and created like some like crazy ass mustard gas in the pool, and they had to evacuate the whole school and they sent us all home. And like, boy, we partied like a motherfucker that day. Everybody went out to lunch. Everybody, like, we all just like, it was like the greatest thing on the planet.
Yeah. And I mean, you add that to like Google now, right? You have a mustard gas day in school today every kid's going home celebrating, and 15% of them are looking up how to make mustard gas themselves to duplicate that in the future.
Yeah, you couldn't Google that when you were at home on our day.
And, you know, so talking about like Baltimore, you know, getting this. Baltimore gets their days off. Chicago gets the occasional days off. I'm looking at like where I'm at, Southern California. If I'm a Southern California kid and I've never heard of a snow day,
yeah.
I've never gotten a snow day. I've never gotten anything from bad weather. Oh, I'm looking at how do we ransomware this?
See, but in certain places, we're about that life, bro. Like I had 3 snow days in my entire life, and it was because we had a record low of 3 days in a row.
It was like,
it was, yeah, it wasn't, there's never been too much snow to go to school. It was
Chicago
just,
is too efficient at cleaning streets. Like it did not matter.
Like they only canceled school because it was literally -40 with the wind chill. Like there's like no point did they want you to go outside. And like now with COVID, snow days, they're going away the dodo, man. Like, you better e-learn your ass with that snowy motherfucking weather. Like, we already tested this fucking out. You better open that tablet. We e-learning in this bitch.
Ugh, gross.
Snow days just went the way of the dodo, bro.
Oh, that's terrible. All right. Well, let's move on from that. But we can talk about, we got a couple things about self-driving vehicles. First one is because it's the most important one.
Yes.
Which is that self-driving trucks are now selling delicious chicken. As you've got, well, delicious is a...
That's a subjective.
It's a subjective thing. I'm vegan, so it's fully facetious from my side.
You are the worst. a cheap vegan.
So... we've got KFC in China is now having these little trucks. They're kind of like tiny vans that are driving around completely autonomously, no human beings in it, that just drives around, has a price list on it, and it's like a ice cream truck, but with chicken and no creepy human being behind music drawing in children. Like, it's the future. This is absolutely the future.
You give me a holograph of the colonel driving it, and then have that Max dude from the 80s at the Coke machine. I'm sold. Like, I don't even eat KFC that much, but I will go to that truck. I'll get some of that popcorn chicken just to see the hologram to colonel.
Yeah, so, but I mean, realistically, this is happening. It's fully autonomously driven. You can make your contactless payments, everything there directly at the truck with an app, and then it hands you the chicken and it continues to drive around. And these little tiny vans, you know, they have enough capacity to essentially go out and deliver for a day with a pretty limited range. But I'm sure for the purpose that it has, it doesn't need to have a significant range. And I don't know, it's a really cool idea. And you know, China's not, this isn't like exclusive to KFC right now, that's what they're doing it with, but you know, they're also looking at delivering America's worst export, which is like Pizza Hut next.
well then don't the same company own Taco Bell? Because then if you get Taco Bell self-driving, you know, sure, cars, the world is just gonna simultaneously orgasm the day that comes out. Like,
I'm sure that's coming too. So it's
when you got gorditas just driving the roads by themselves, people are gonna fucking snap the fuck off, bro. But this whole like every time you say contactless during these stories, like, it just gives me this like view of this dystopian future where we have like hug prostitutes on the road because no humans are ever coming into contact with each other ever. And you just got guys hitting street corners, giving people $5 for a good hug because we talk to robots and we're alone all day, every fucking day. Cause it's not the virus. It's humans. Humans, you are the virus now. Stay away from me. Like, I just like every time I hear contactless checkout, contactless blah blah blah, I just picture myself in this like John Travolta in the Pulp Fiction gif, like looking around like, where'd all the people go? Where'd everybody go?
Yeah, Well, another contactless move, I guess, for China is the taxi industry. As you know, continuing with the self-driving vehicles and continuing with China just crushing it with these. They've got a company, AutoX, which is owned by, you know, the China Amazon, Alibaba. And Alibaba is this AutoX company. It's operating right now in Shenzhen. It's operating in some other cities across China. And it's calling an Uber. You dial it in through an app, tell it where you want to pick it up, and it comes and picks you up fully driverless in these minivans. And like, I know we talk like about how difficult it is to do these autonomous vehicles and how far people talk about how far away and stuff we are. But I'm telling you right now, if in a Chinese city, these things are operating in downtown Shenzhen, China, with the bicycles flying all over the place, people giving zero fucks of what's going on, and you're telling me that they're operating these now? We can't do that in U.S. streets. Get the fuck out of here. Like,
well, my big curiosity is if they're going to pump through like the air vents, like ethnic food and flatulence, just to make you feel at home, you know, like just won't feel right without music I can't understand in all kinds of odors. Like I won't know that I'm in a cab.
Yeah. This is contactless. I can get behind. Like if I could call an Uber and just not deal with the driver, this is a big win. So, and not to mention, these things are going to be fully loaded out with cameras and stuff like that. So we'll still get plenty of videos of people doing dumb stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thinking they're alone.
You thought Taxi Cab Confessionals on HBO was good before. Like, that was what they told a human. Imagine when somebody gets in the back of a cab and just nobody, like, they just think nobody's watching. Like, everybody knows there's cameras on you and they still do stupid stuff because you just get into that, like, comfortable mode where you forget there's cameras on you. Like, But you know one thing, like, I'm not going to want to just jump in the back of these things because I'm willing to bet at least one out of 15 fucking human males go in there and just masturbate. Like,
oh, I was waiting for you to come up with some safety bullshit.
Nope. You know it's going down. You can't leave some drunk dude in that back of that cab by himself on his way home for longer than 15 minutes, especially with an iPhone. Oh. Nope. Like, nope. One out of 15. For sure.
Oh, man.
So you go ahead and sit in and see, because unless
ruined it.
you better have some wet wipes with you before you get in there. Like, I'm not sitting on those seats.
Well, I don't even know what to say. I mean, I'm sure they're just gonna have like, they're gonna sanitize it with like UV light or something like that, and that's all you're gonna get.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember being a teenager, but ain't no light getting that away.
All right,
speed round.
Well, where are we? Oh, and then I guess we could just talk about the depressing. So we're just talking about what great things that China's doing with autonomous driving. They're delivering you fried chicken and pizza and picking your drunk ass up and taking you home without dealing with an Uber driver. And then here in the United States, Uber actually just announced that they've abandoned their self-driving the whole plan, and they have sold off their arm of self-driving units and self-driving innovation. They have now sold it all off to to Aurora, which is another company in this process. But Uber is no longer in the business of trying to figure it out for themselves.
Too many people masturbate in the back of Ubers, I'm telling you. they ran the pilot program, and it was just too much on them.
I feel like we've got to get this audio out to like whoever's trying to unionize Uber drivers and stuff like that, and be like, hey guys, you want to save your jobs? Like, you just got to catch a couple of people masturbating in the back of a. You just got to shake the faith of all those people who are thinking.
It's only
about
so funny because you know there's a bunch of truth in what I'm saying. Like, oh, it's no, only. Yeah. Like, it's only funny because you know I'm right. Like.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I know there are Uber drivers who have caught and told people to stop. So, like, you take that human, but I mean, whatever, machine learning, they can learn the right pattern. They can learn the right pattern of what their passengers are doing to determine yes or no on masturbation, and then just kind of spray them with a water cannon or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then you're going to get some, like, messed up ambitious company that's just like, fuck it, let's go with it. And they just, like, Pornhub-sponsored fucking, you know, automatic Ubers that just, they come back to the shop, well, get wiped down, and just an extra, I mean, like, $15 a month on your Uber subscription. You just go ahead and do what you got to do, homie. Oh, my God. The future sucks. Humans are horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, it's weird to see someone. It's weird to see someone actually kind of like abandoning. Everybody's jumping on the self-driving, and to see actually one company kind of abandon it does like kind of put some you know dampers in the works. I guess you'd say like maybe things aren't moving as fast as we thought they were.
Yeah, and I think especially for like Uber, it really just comes down to the fact that, you know, they fought some pretty big legal battles this year just to keep the gig worker concept for their drivers, and they've got a lot of other threats to their business model. This is probably not what they need to worry about. They could let somebody else develop it and then just license it later. So
yeah, maybe they were just hemorrhaging money. Maybe it was going the right way, but they were just like, why are we investing resources into this when we could just buy it up later?
Yeah, and that's really kind of what a part of it was. To talk about, like, in the article, it talks about certain like crashes that took place financially within Uber and some of the issues that they were having, and that it's just been urged to just sell off this division. That it may be something that they need in the future, or that they move to in the future, but they don't need to be spending the money on the development of it and as like an R&D project. That's just throwing away money. So kind of makes sense as far as a business model thing, but still, China defeating us in this. All right, well, let's I guess shift to a serious topic. I don't know what to do here.
I got a whole weird ass Black Mirror situation going on in my head right now. I cannot focus, really.
That's what I say. Like, I don't know how to do justice to this next story, but whatever. Let's give it a go. And it's so Google this last week fired what was essentially she was the head of their. He was one of their head AI scientists and really the head of like ethical AI. And she was fired. She was fired by Google predominantly because she came out with a paper a couple years ago that talked about that AI was discriminating against individuals, specifically people of color and females, that it was misrepresented when we talk about like through facial recognition, we talk about through a lot of the machine learning systems, it showed bias towards discrimination, that it just didn't handle people of color, females, as far as categorizing them, as far as properly treating them, it negatively. And she's thrown some doubt and some issues, some ethical issues on the AI community that needed to be addressed. And she's been ahead of this Google ethical AI team for a long time, or the co-lead of this team. And she gets fired this week, partly from her standpoint. It follows her sending an internal email just to members of the team, just showing frustration that really there is no way to actually affect change, that the people at the top just don't give a shit about the ethics of it. Like, they just want to continue to progress it, but they could care less about the ethics, that no matter what she says, what she writes, the criticism that she's put out there, it's on deaf ears. They don't give a shit. And that just by speaking out, there's repercussions. She puts this in what she says, an internal email. Well, it's not so internal anymore. And she's been fired from the program, which is actually getting a lot of people in the AI community, when you talk about like top researchers, top developers, not just at Google. So more than 1,200 Google employees have signed a petition speaking out against this, or a protest speaking out against this, as well as like another 1,500 academics and researchers across the country speaking out against this, that she is doing great work in the field, and Google firing her is a like very telling and negative step towards the role that we hope Google is playing in developing ethical AI.
Well, and this kind of goes against all the, you know, basic principles of science. You know, you don't do experiments and you don't develop things to get the answers you want. You do experiments and you get the answers that science provides. And you know, that's how we progress as humans. You know, we don't just, you know, cater our experiments and cater everything to just fit into the box we want it. And that seems like what Google's trying to do is, like, they just don't care. They just want a functional AI. And they, you know, if you have any criticism that will hold that development back, then sorry, you got to go. Like, it's kind of messed up.
Yeah. And there's some disagreement. Even Google's team have talked about her resignation. They're calling it her resignation and not her termination. I'm certain that that's probably not the case. following the way everything's laid out, that she was probably removed from the position. I don't think she willfully resigned. But in the end, again, it's not a good sign for Google. There's definitely more to the story than we are going to cover right now. That there's definitely some kind of speculation, or he said, she said, that's coming through this. But again, definitely a kind of an alarming thing when your head of AI ethical AI development is ousted for sending internal emails being critical of your use of ethical framework in development.
You ever see the show Better Off Ted?
Oh yeah,
phenomenal show. Better Off Ted is one of the greatest shows that ever got canceled. They did this on one of the episodes where facial recognition didn't see the black scientists, and like what it did to his mental psyche, that the water fountains wouldn't go off for him, the doors wouldn't open for him. And like, yeah, they did this years ago. We're talking decade ago. This, like, they made fun of this problem.
Where can you watch Better Off Ted? I don't know where you can watch it.
I want to say it was on a streaming service.
I want to say it was on Hulu, but yeah, if somebody's listening to this and has never seen that show, go watch it. If you've never seen that episode, and the very fact that they just start hiring white people to follow around the black people.
But then because they hire more white people, they fuck up the affirmative action, so they have to hire more black people, and then they quantify in like 30 years they'll actually employ the entire globe. But in 30 years we're going to employ the entire country just to meet quotas and deal with this fucking AI problem.
It is a phenomenal episode.
It is great. I forgot they hired white people to follow them around the black people.
Oh yeah, and then they had to have
I forgot that part of it. I forgot about it.
They had to have the manual water fountains for black people only. And
oh, you can't make a show like that anymore. Oh,
it's
God.
It's still hilarious. It falls right into the actual current flaws of facial recognition and stuff, that just doing a poor job towards black people, and just instead of fixing it, instead of actually engineering a correct fix to it, they're just kind of ignoring it.
Let's just roll it through.
Well, I guess to continue to talk about ethical AI.
Too many jokes to roll into these stories, man. Jesus, we're just, just too many jokes.
Speed round failures. We're just... All right.
Oh, God.
Speed round. Hey, on his way out, I don't know what's happening. Donald Trump signs an executive order this week on governmental AI and creating a commission that has to be stood up by May in order to get public consensus and scientific consensus on the ethical use of AI in the government. So that's a weird turn. Google stepping away from their ethical AI, and President Trump is pushing towards doing it better in the government. So cool.
2020, man.
All right. And then let's run through some space topics here. First off, we've got SpaceX getting a huge payday from FCC, $886 million from the FCC in their program to subsidize rural internet, broadband internet. And like, it was like 4 months ago, they were talking about that Ajit Pai and them wouldn't even classify
Starlink it as broadband.
They just said it doesn't meet our criteria to be broadband. And then after a fight, they finally say, okay, we'll call you broadband. And then fast forward.
Well, they just fired
Ajit. Now Starlink gets... he's not fired. He resigned, and he's resigning on January 20th.
Oh.
So he is resigning on inauguration day.
Okay.
Fast forward after they finally say, okay, we'll call you broadband and we'll consider you for this rural grant money that's coming out. And then they give Starlink the largest share of the grant money coming out because of their ability to deliver broadband internet to rural communities. So, hey, big win. It just proves Starlink's
doing good things. What do you think this, the story we ran, 2 weeks ago, where the UK bought bought that
OneWeb.
Yeah, OneWeb. Like, do you think that has anything to do with it? The fact that a European government is investing into OneWeb, so that now the FCC figures will dump almost $1 billion into the American version now?
I don't think so. I don't think it probably plays into it. I just think it just shows that, you know, when you look at all of the internet options in this country and to reach out to, you know, when we're talking about like deep rural communities and these Native American tribes and reservations and things that don't have infrastructure, who can deliver, who can actually right now deliver quality internet at the cheapest price to those communities? And it's the dude who's already got 500 satellites in the sky, who's planning on putting out another minimum 2,500 up to 40,000 more.
Yeah, I actually had a friend on Facebook post like 3 days ago. He's like, I just saw 5 stars in a perfect line, like fly past. Anybody else see that? Anybody else see that? And like literally those like 40 comments of just like, yeah, I saw it too, bro. Fucking aliens are coming, man. They're coming. And like, I had to be like the 50th comment and be like, y'all Starlink. Really need to listen to the podcast. That shit was satellites. Like,
I'll never forget that.
Google Starlink.
The very first launch, I was in Anzabrigo Desert at a national park or national forest stargazing night led by a ranger when the very first one happened. And even the ranger was like, I don't know what the fuck that was. We all thought we were seeing aliens. Like,
I don't know what the fuck that was.
My kids, nobody knew what was going on. We had no internet signal. Nobody could Google it. Everybody for about 40 minutes was lost on what we were seeing in the sky. And it was phenomenal. So good on me for being a space-gazing, stargazing nerd.
He actually asked, because I was like, it's Starlink internet satellites, bro. They're only 90 miles in orbit. They're really easy to see. And he was like, have you ever seen them before? I was like, I haven't. I was like, but my brother did.
Yeah, so, all right. Among other companies, there's several other winners of that grant money, but all we care about is Elon, so that's all we're going to go. All the other ones are just general land-based internet, boring.
Hashtag Musketeers.
Yeah, so let's move that thing. Let's move this thing forward. In other gigantic tech CEO news, Jeff Bezos gave a big, bold proclamation that his BE-7 engine that they just tested, which is going to be kind of like the thruster engine to land the Blue Origin lunar module, lunar lander. He's given the bold prediction that the next woman or the first woman and next man to land on the moon is going to be by his engine. And from everything I've seen, this engine that they demonstrated, it shows some significant capability and controllable thrust, which is what's going to be needed. And they are one of the leading companies, along with SpaceX and some others like General Dynamics, are all in the hunt for these NASA contracts.
This is what the kids
calling it now. He's calling a shot.
This is what the kids would call clout chasing. Like, Elon's already shooting people up there. He's already landing rockets, and Bezos is just gonna come out here and be like, we got a rocket that can land, and we're gonna shoot somebody to the moon, and it's gonna be a woman because we woke. Quit trying to chase that clout.
NASA's already said the next one that goes to the moon is carrying a woman. Like, that's NASA's prediction or NASA's statement. It wasn't even a prediction. That was just them saying the next team's having a woman on it. So whoever gets to land it gets to claim that they landed the first woman. And whether it's General Dynamics or Bezos is right, and he's going to win this contract. In the end, they're looking at still, I think, 2024 for the landing. So you got to think they're going to award this contract by 2022 and do like all the final testing and stuff like that. So,
see, they were going to do that shit before. I remember when Challenger went up, like I was a kid. We were all watching that when I was a kid. Yep. I'll never forget that day. I was like six or seven, bro. I was like,
yeah, they had like that elementary teacher that was like that novelty woman who was put on the thing, and then rest in peace.
I was a shorty. They made all the kids watch it because the teacher was going up.
Yeah,
so like it was
in class.
It was like everybody had to watch it in class,
and then we all watched six people die.
Class. Yeah.
All right, man.
We're on a roller coaster here.
Tangents everywhere. All right. Next space quick round, speed round here is
Dollar NASA's moon rocks.
Dollar
moon rocks.
To me, this is just NASA. So there's a Colorado company called Lunar Outpost that is putting together ways to collect materials on the moon, and NASA saying that they're going to pay them $1 to do it, which to me, this is kind of one of those, like, this is just a challenge. Like, this is just like, I've got no faith in you. I got a buck on it. Like, that's what this looked like to me. We'll see what happens, but yeah, Lunar Outpost bid $1 and won a NASA contract to
just makes me wonder how many government contracts are out there where I could just be like,
that nobody bids on.
Nobody bids on that I could bid $1 on, and next thing you know, I'm like the chief engineer to design some kind of fucking, you know, well, God only knows know what.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if this is a sign that nobody bid on it, or if this is just a sign that the government will literally just pay just to give a contract to the lowest bidder. Like, yeah. they don't care if this person has the capability to do it. They don't care if this person is operating out of their garage.
It's an algorithm. It's an algorithm. They just take the lowest one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is more of a sign of that. All right. And then let's do one, I guess one or two more here, but we got Japan. They've got a space capsule coming that has landed back in Australia. One that it was... picked up some asteroid samples a couple weeks back. It was the one that I think it, like, shot bullets into an asteroid, gathered the fragments as they were coming out, and it has now landed back in Australia. So let's, I don't know, maybe hear here soon on what kind of crazy materials or whatever else they found on that asteroid.
Yeah. If you thought COVID 2020 was bad, just wait till asteroid virus 2021 fucking hits.
Till Venom's outrunning through Australia right now.
Oh, God.
And then I don't even know how to, I guess we could just finish off on this one here. And so an Israeli head of the space program has said that he is aware of the fact that there are aliens here on Earth today, but his quote is that the aliens have asked not to announce that they are here because humanity is not ready yet.
Seems legit.
He's not wrong. Like,
He is not wrong.
If I was an alien and I landed on this planet right now, I would also just be like, I'm going to chill for a little bit, guys. Like, we'll talk in a decade. But for right now, I'm just going to hang out here in the Amazon. Let me know when you guys sort your shit out.
Yeah, you know, unless this little motherfucker looks like a baby Yoda, he's fucked. he's fucked. Like, I could only imagine if you were some highly intelligent being that just comes from a society that has moved past all the stupid shit that we care about as humans, and you land here and you just look at each other like, what are you people doing? Like, what are you people doing with yourselves?
Like, yeah. I don't know. All I know is, like, on the real side of this thing, like, this guy was the head of the Israeli space program from 1981 to 2010. Like, this is still fairly recent that this guy ran the space program. And he is now saying that 100% aliens are here. He says that the aliens are in an agreement or a contract with the United States government to be our helpers and to help us design stuff. Like, this guy is off the deep end, but that's fine. Like,
I'm sure
Q or somebody out there is talking of, like, getting people to follow this. I'm sure people believe this, but
I'm waiting for, like, that 80-year-old, like, CIA agent one day just on his deathbed to come out and say the crazy shit. Like one of my favorite movies when I was younger was that Dead Man on Campus, because there's just that one part where the conspiracy dude freaks out and he's just like, Kurt Cobain ain't dead. He's living in a trailer park with blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm waiting for that CIA dude just be like, I got cancer. I got 6 months left to live. Here's the lowdown, folks. This is all that's going on.
We don't have to wait for that. If there were aliens, you think there's any chance that this current president doesn't go out? Just giving out every secret. If they exist, we would know.
Yeah, that's going to be my argument for every conspiracy theorist for the next, like, 10 years. And be like, bro, you didn't know, man, the grassy knoll. I've been like, man, shit didn't happen. Trump would have said it. Trump, there's no way after he lost that election, he wouldn't have just fucking let all that shit ride.
Absolutely. He would have just been fucking fake mainstream media been hiding this shit for years. Here's the truth. Never. Yep. Yeah.
Right. He'd rat on every government program he possibly could just to blow people's minds.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, we've ran the gambit here today.
Yeah.
This was there was too many topics and too many tangents to capture. But
I mean, we are too, you know, just two chimps reading off news to each other, but it sounds somewhat professional most weeks. We can't really let it happen.
No, we reminded you who we are this week. So with all that said, hey, come join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. And I don't know if you like this nonsense and you've got a dollar to share, we'd appreciate in this time of giving to join us over at patreon.com and support us as we continue to produce the show and put in the time, effort, and hopefully successfully entertain a few of you.
Yeah, you could always head over to the merchandise tab on thenerdcantina.com, get a nice comfy hoodie for the winter, makes great Christmas gifts. We got baby onesies. Like you get whatever you want. You want a nice tote? Oh, I'm an asshole.
I still want to find somebody who can make the Nerd Cantina branded tinfoil hat.
But yeah, I don't.
Nobody will wear it. I just want one. I'll just make one and put a sticker on it. But all right, we're tangent. We got to end this thing. All right. So thanks again. Join us over at the community. Support us however is appropriate. Share us at a minimum. Like us, subscribe. We'd appreciate all of it. And then until next week. So we'll talk to you later, nerds.
Yeah. Don't beat off in your Uber.
Yeah. See ya.